I remind me of that old movie, Cool Hand Luke. Remember, any of you watched that movie a long time ago with Paul Newman, Cool Hand Luke? Well, he escaped out of prison, and he was running out of his chain gang. And he got over there to this one area, and there was a little kids around there. And he said, go get me some pepper. And I have honed my senses so well all of my life, my sight and hearing and feeling and smell, that things bother me, you know. Smell bother me. I can smell everything in the world. But this dry ink, or whatever you want to call it here, markers up here just about kill me. Anyway, so Cool Hand Luke had this little kid bring a bunch of pepper. And he poured the pepper down all over his trail where the dogs were sending him. And when they smelled that, they lost their sense of smell. Like they killed him. That's what all these little things, perfumes and everything do to me. They mess up my fine sense of smell. And all of these trees are out here at this time of the year also. I had two students call me this week. And both of them talked to me for an hour, I guess. And thanked me for teaching them from the original languages and giving them a very sound foundation. Both of them are teachers. One of them is a pastor and a missionary. And they said, without you giving us that foundation, we would have fallen for so many little clickish, foolish, modern inventions. Both of them said the same thing. We have two big farces in the world today. One group among Baptists is called King James Only. You know what I'm talking about. Those people believe in King James Only. I remember when I was going back in the seminary back in the 1970s, there was a guy there that came there. He was a preacher from the South. He had the same name as me. Now, I'm not him. I tell you that much. Anyway, he came from the South, and he was going to speak a whole week on the text of the New Testament, the text of the Bible. And the whole farce was a King James Only before they changed the King James Bible. And Brother Hubbard went and listened to him one time, and of course I had to go listen to him because that was part of my stuff I had to do. I had to suffer for a week listening to this nut. His name was James Phillips. That's what his name was. He had a different middle name. And Brother Hubbard listened to him one time and he said, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. What I don't know whatsoever. Supposedly he knew a little bit of Greek. He had taken Greek, a couple of years of Greek, I guess, in school. But he was pushing that Baptists ought to study the King James Bible only. If you study the history of the King James Bible, you'll find out that it was put together by the Church of England against the Baptist and against the Catholic Church. And it was made up from manuscripts that were translated, well, the Latin Vulgate and the Textus Receptus, which was translated. The Textus Receptus is the first printed Greek Bible, but it was translated from not Greek, but from Latin. It went from Greek to Latin and then back to Greek. That's not very strong foundation, is it? Well, there are people that believe that today. And then the next thing, that's from the Greek New Testament when we study Greek. Like on Wednesday night, I teach Greek. I've been teaching Greek here, I think, 18 years now. And then the Hebrew Old Testament. The new thing that we got now, the very popular thing, is the Young Earth Theory. The Young Earth Theory. Our Hebrew class here takes care of that. But you won't fall for that if you know enough, if you know just a little bit of Hebrew. You can't swallow that one hook, line, and sinker. There's so much religious lures out there today, and they always have been. That started the King James business only. I remember when it started among missionary Baptist ranks. You couldn't have told them that before, but after this guy went around lecturing to different schools, people that didn't have a language background fell for that. And they didn't do any research. They just fell for it and they just swallowed it. And now we have this, we've got this Young Earth museum back in someplace, Tennessee or someplace, Missouri or whatever. All of this, all on the foundation, not on the languages, not what the Bible says, but upon a theory, a premise. You take the Bible and you make it teach what you want it to believe. That's like teaching the topical sermons. You can take the Bible, and you can take a verse out of the Bible, whether it's foundation. You know, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that are not inspired. Did you know that? They are not inspired of God. A lot of verses in the Bible are not inspired of God. Quite a few. Okay, now what do I mean by that? Okay, Sharon, that got your... Brother Mike, what do I mean by that? You know what I mean. Go to the book of Job. Go to the book of Job. And people, I have heard preachers preach from Job's friends, and those people are not inspired of God to write that down. The book of Job is inspired, all right, and they wrote down the information there, but what those people said does not walk on all fours. It is not inspired Scripture. And a lot of people will take something out of the Bible and try to put a sermon around it. With good biblical hermeneutics, you won't fall for that. You won't have it lured to you. You go out there, how many of you ever gone fishing? Anybody here gone fishing? Any of you ever used lures? You throw a lure out there, and a lure is not bait. Okay, it's a lure. And you get a fish to bite. One of the biggest fish that I ever caught in freshwater out of Buena Vista was caught on a spinner, a rooster tail. I'm going to tell you something, that wasn't edible. But there was about a 20-pound trout bit that thing because he thought it was edible. Now, your foundation on Greek on Wednesday night and on Hebrew on Sunday afternoon will inoculate you from lures, theological lures, okay? But you got to get into it enough to really look at it for yourself. Brother John, on Wednesday night, John comes here. John from Shafter, okay? John Hayes, John and Shirley come. John is the theologian. Now, he read the Bible in 8 Ages book, and he listened to me preach. But he really never understood Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 2 and things like that. He just took my word for it. But when you learn enough Hebrew, and then you start looking at how God created Adam, and people can explain it, not from the dust of the ground, but as the dust of the ground, and all of this, and then when God, when Eve says, I have gotten a man, even Jehovah, when you see this, it's right there in front of you. You see it with your own eyes. You see how that Adam says, ha, my foot track. When God created Eve, my foot track. And you go look at these words, and you see these words, and you say, this is really what it means. This is really what it means. There it is in front of me. And then you study the verbs and things. There's no doubt. So you won't fall for those lures, theological lures. Brother Mike.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
So you said that New World is something you're not fond of at all.
The Young Earth Theory.
The Young Earth Theory.
Yes.
Okay. You said that there is a gap. Fact.
Yes.
You said this morning. Mm-hmm. Is the old world the same as a gap fact, or
The old world, what do you mean?
I just heard that there's a new world, an old world, and a gap. Is there, am I confused?
Okay, the old world, the world that was, the world that is, and the world that shall become. There are three worlds. Okay? Three worlds. We know that. In other words, God created the world that was. It was destroyed. He reconstructed it. That's the world we live in today. And then there's going to be a world that He's going to destroy. He's going to destroy this other world, and we're going to live in it here. That's going to be the new world. The new heavens and the new earth. The new heavens and the new world. The new cosmos. Okay? The new cosmos. And you asked me about angels a while ago, Sharon. I think both of you did, didn't you? No, not just Sharon, that Sharon. Okay. All right. We believe, theologically, we have, the Bible specifies that we have Michael the archangel, okay? We know that Michael is an archangel. But we theologically impose that Gabriel is an archangel and that Lucifer is an archangel. The Bible calls Lucifer a cherub, okay? In Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, and also, there is no explanation for that if you don't believe in the gap fact. It goes back and we talk about Lucifer being in the Garden of Eden and all that, and then the destruction of the earth and all of that. That happened. That's Scripture. But if you try to prove a premise without a theological foundation in the Bible, what is the theories of interpretation of the Scripture? Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? And what is the subject? That's three. If you want to do who, what, where, when, and why, you can do those five. Okay? But you can at least, any Scripture, if you just want to think of who's speaking, who's he speaking to, and what's the subject, that's what I try to impress upon you over and over and over again. All right. So that, and then the Jewish people have seven archangels. I don't know whether I agree with that or not, but that's what they have in their theology.
Where do they get them?
From the Book of Enoch.
Enoch.
Yeah. Yeah, the Book of Enoch, which they believe is inspired. And I believe it is too, but I don't know how much of it is inspired. I don't know, because it's never been really studied. We have the Book of Enoch as it was probably 1000 B.C. The most copied book at the Dead Sea Scrolls was the Book of Enoch. And you can look at that on it's on our websites, on the front of our websites for Study the Word with Dr. Jim and Discover the Word with Dr. Jim.com. All of those websites have it on the front of them. And did that answer your question just a little bit? We know that Lucifer is over the material realm, Gabriel's over the information realm, the communication realm, and we know that Michael is over the spiritual realm, which has a lot to do with warfare. Warfare and protection. And angel wars have happened in the past and they're going on today. They're going on even today. All right. Do you have any other questions about that? Okay. 46 and verse 31. We're almost finished with the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis. Wyomer. Yosef. El Itah. Weel. Beth. Ali. Eele. Wa'agidah. Li Pharaoh. Weomera. Ila. Ache. Uveth. Abi. Turn the page over here. Asher, Ba'eretz, Canaan, Bo, Eileh. And kept on saying Joseph unto his brothers. Third person, nice and singer, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect. Page 55 and page 65. What is the root of this word, Wyomer? What is the root of it? Scholars? How do you look that up? It's on page 55 and page 65. On page 55 in Brown, Driver, Briggs. On 65 in Kohler and Bumgardner. I brought another little book here tonight, too. We've talked about Kohler and Bumgardner. This is a tremendous book. This is Gesenius. This book was almost lost. Gesenius didn't finish it before he died. He did more research than any Hebrew scholar in his time. But he was very honest in what he discovered. And because he didn't go along with what some people say, and one of the greatest things that really caused him a lot of trouble was the difference between Bethula and Almah. And he just put it down like it was, Bethula and Almah. What is a Bethula and Almah? What's the difference between Bethula and Almah? Bethula is what? It's virgin. A virgin that's been guarded and kept in the house. An Almah is a sexually mature young lady. That's exactly what it means. And Isaiah 7:14, that's what it says there. It's not a virgin in that. We know in the Septuagint later on they put down Parthenos there, which means a virgin. But that was a dual prophecy. And most people look at that. And when Gesenius wrote that down, they had a wall-eyed Calypsian fit. And they didn't want to borrow from his works or quote him or anything else after that, because they thought he was a heretic. He was simply putting it down, and he wrote down all the different places where it could not have been a virgin. And he talked about the dual prophecy of Isaiah 7:14, because a woman had a child, and they named his name Emmanuel at that time. And then later on, then God would send forth his son of a virgin, all right, of a virgin. And he would be God with us. Well, anyway, there's Gesenius. Gesenius is one of the greatest ones. It's by Tregelles. And Erdmann's, you can still get this thing, I believe. But this really, it goes into deep stuff. The greatest Greek Hebrew lexicon today is Kohler and Baumgartner. That's two volumes. It's like almost $300, brother. Almost $300 for that set of books. I have them. Thanks to one of my students, Troy Clemens in Alabama, sent that to me. It showed up in the mail. I didn't have enough money to buy it. He bought it and sent it to me. This book here, I've had this because Brother Hubbard quoted Gesenius a lot. And J. Lewis Guthrie quoted Gesenius, and it is a very good book. It goes deeper even than Kohler and Baumgartner in places. That's the one that you can really chase rabbits in this one. It's good. All the others are good also, but Gesenius was a great scholar and a great researcher and an honest man. Wyomer, and he kept on saying Joseph unto his brothers and unto his house, Beth. Look at that word, Beth. Beth, unto his house of his father. All right? And I shall go up and make known, I shall declare to Pharaoh, and I shall say unto him, my brothers and the house of my father, who in land of Canaan have come in, all right, have come in, boo, have come in, third person, corporal, plural, cal perfect. They have come in. That's completed. Perfect tense is a completed action. They have gotten here, okay? And they have come unto me. They have come unto me. All right? In Genesis 1 and 1, it says, Barashith bara. Bara is what? That's perfect tense too, isn't it? It wasn't in a state of begin. In the Jewish Publication Society Hebrew Bible, they say in their English translation, they said, and God began to create the heavens and the earth. But what does the Hebrew say there? God had created the heavens and the earth, and she became formless and void. So you won't fall for that lure. When the Bible says something, and it, in Hebrew it is inspired, we know that for sure, we need to believe it. All right. If said otherwise, we ought to believe that. 46:32. Wahaanashim. Roe. Son. Now the modern Hebrews will say son there, won't they? They will drop the set sound. But it does have a sown sound, sown sound. We have a somic there that has the S sound, but right here we have a TS sound, a sa, sa, all right? Sa, sown. Ki, anshi, mitne, hayu, wheat sonom. Okay, here we have that sa there again, that TS sound. Wet sonom. UV garam, wiko, asher, lahem, he, viu, and the men, wihanashim, and the men, look at that, we on the front of it, that's a conjunction, ha is a definite article, and then anashim, that is mankind in the plural. Comes from ish, all right? Role, shepherds, watchers, masculine plural, cal participle, to watchovers, those that watch over flocks, sown, that means flocks of sheep and goats. That's the small animals, the small animals. Those that are not used to hook up to a plow and break ground, the sheep and the goats. And flocks, because men of cattle. Alright, now here we have the word mikne, mikne, and mikne means what? That comes from Volker, doesn't it? Huh? What does that mean? That means to break the ground. Now they are tenders of sheep, they watch after sheep and goats, and they also have cattle. Cattle that can be oxen that are hooked up to with a yoke to a plow. And they have become, all right. They are cowboys and sheep herders. They have become third person corporal plural, cow perfect. They have become. See that? And their flocks and their small sheep and goats, and their herds and their volkers, and their beasts of burden, their plowing animals, and all witches to them. They have brought in, and that's perfect tense again too. Do you see? I want you to understand a little bit of the grammar, a little bit of the tenses. All right. We haya ki yikra lekem payroll we amar ma maasikim and it shall become. Do you see the change? I want you to understand this haya here. This, as it changes, it's a state of change. All right? And it shall become when. Now, that word ki there can be translated when, or it's like an adverb of time, and it also can mean because. When he calls, and it literally here, when he keeps on calling. This is third person masculine singular, cal imperfect. When he keeps on calling to you, he'll keep on calling to you, Pharaoh. What does Pharaoh mean? What? What's that? The cat that lives in the big house. The fat cat. All right. The guy that lives in the big house. All right. And he has said what? Look at that word. Third person masculine singular, cow, vowel, consecutive, perfect. When he has said, what is your work? What is your deed? What is your work? What line of work are you doing? What's your occupation? And then verse 46 and verse 34. We amartem anshi mikne hayu Avadika men nu renu. We ad ata gam ananu gam avatinu ba'avur tishiva tishivu, that is Be'eretz Goshen ki Tovavof Metzrayim. Modern Hebrew would say what, brother? What would modern Hebrew say, Brother Roger? Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim. They would stop. They wouldn't pronounce the Mitzrayim. Okay? And I guarantee you one thing. There's a reason for that Sadi, and there's a reason for the Samek. Because they have a different sound. They don't have the same sound. Call. Roeh. Son. And ye shall have said, men of cattle. We're cowboys. Micnat. This is the Bokers. These are the big cattle. We're cattlemen. We're cattlemen. We have become your servants from our youth. All right. And until now, both we also and our fathers, in order that you you may keep on dwelling in land of Goshen. What does Goshen mean?
Land of rain and prosperity.
Land of what?
Rain and prosperity.
A land of rain and prosperity. That's what Goshen means. Land of rain and prosperity. Because Tovavof. Because Yesenius says impure, base, low down. The Egyptians thought that sheep herders and cowboys were low down. They were very base individuals. And in the West, when the cowboys came into the town after the cattle herds, they liked the money that the cowboys brought, but what else did they bring? People from the low station of life. The low stations of life. All right. And it means error. It means impiety. It means harm. It means calamity. Ethically wrong. In a ritual sense. Corrupt. Rejected. Abhorred. Physically repugnant. Unclean. Objectionable. Illegal. Wickedness, witchcraft, and unchastity. That's what all that word means right there. That's quite a word. All right. Up Mitzrin, every or all. Call is all. All right. 47 and verse 1. Now if we had Chris here tonight, she could get up here and read from the Amplified Bible, but I don't have an Amplified Bible. Does anyone have one here with us tonight? No. Don't have one. You have one, brother? Do you have an Amplified Bible? Can you come up here and read from verse 46, 31 through 34, please? Genesis 46, 31 through 34. Brother Abe.
31 to 34.
He rescued us. Yes.
Pronunciation problem.
What?
Pronunciation problem.
Pronunciation. But that's all right. Just read slowly. You did very, very well this morning. Did you understand how much better he spoke? He slowed down this morning. And really, you could understand every word he said.
I prefer this as my speech teacher. 31?
Yes. Come right over here, brother.
Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, my brothers and my father's household who were in the land of Canaan have come to me, and the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been keeping livestock, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. When Pharaoh calls you and says, what is your occupation? You shall say, your servant's occupation has been as keepers of livestock from our youth until now, both we and our fathers before us, in order that you may live in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians.
All right. So they were going to do something that the Egyptians didn't want to do. They didn't want to do that low life, y'all. So these people would get out and do this. A lot of the pharaohs, by the way, they loved wild meat. Did you know that? They loved wild meat. They ate lions. They ate giraffes. They ate all kinds of deer meat and antelope and all types of course, that's in what part of Africa do they live in? The northeast part of the Africa, see. So up there, they have all the wild animals up there. They had all of the pharaohs. King Tut, I believe, went out. I believe there's a, historically now, they know that they went out. They think he went out on a lion hunt and broke his leg or something when he was young. One of the pharaohs did. I don't remember whether it was him or not. But anyway, he broke his leg lion hunting, according to some of the texts. 47 and verse 1 now, 47 and verse 1. Joseph presents Jacob, his father, and five of his brothers to Pharaoh. Wayavul, Yosef, Wayaged, Litharo, Wayomer, Ani, Wiate, Wetsonam, we call Asher, Lahem, Bo, Meretz, Canaan, Wehenam, Beeretz, Goshen. All right. And kept on coming in. Look at the verb forms of this. Third person, masculine, singular, cal, wow, consecutive, imperfect. Each one of them kept on coming in, Joseph. And he kept on making known, one after another. I want you to look at the action. One after another, he's introducing to Pharaoh. All right? To Pharaoh, le on the front of that, that's the preposition, lamet, to Pharaoh. And he keeps on saying, third person, masculine, singular, cal, wow, consecutive, imperfect, page 55 and 65. And what is the root of that word? Amer. All right? Aleph, Mem, and Resh. My father and my brothers and their flocks of little sheep and goats and their big cattle and their cattle herds, and all which to them have come in, and that's in what tense? Have come in. The perfect tense. They have come in. From the land, the men on the front of that, that is a preposition. Page 577, men is on. And then Aretz is on page 76. Aretz means what? Dry land. Basically dry land. All right, up Canaan. Boy, it was dry then, too, wasn't it? Dry, because why? No irrigation, no rainfall. All right? And behold, Wehinam, and behold they, inland, now we have Beth on the front of this one. That's a preposition. Inland, Beth or Aretz. Beth is on page 88, and then Aretz on 76. The land of prosperity and rain. The land of prosperity and rain. Geshem. Geshem. In Greek, it's like this. All right? Geshem. That's what it looks like in the Septuagint. Geshem. See that? I don't know what it is. Is it written down there in yours also? Did I write that down right down below that word Goshen?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm glad you got it there. I don't know, sometimes I add things to this all the time. 47 and verse 2, we're in the 47th chapter. That means we only have three chapters to go and we're finished with the book of Genesis. I am in the third chapter of the book of Exodus, by the way. Translating it. I'm working hard. My hands are swelling up. I'm writing so much. But I do a lot of research. I teach 3 heavy-duty classes a week. And boy, do I study all the time to get this, to get all the illustrations and everything in those and do all the research on it. And that's a lot of work. That's all I can say. So I'm doing this, going as fast as I can go along with doing what I'm doing here and the Sunday morning class. Yumikche. Itam. Laka. Hamisha. Anashim. Wayatsi Gam. Lefene. Pharaoh. Let's go back and look at this. And from body of his brothers, he had taken, that is, literally, 5 men. He took 5 of them. And he set them before the face of Pharaoh. He took 5 of his brothers and displayed them before the face of Pharaoh. The 5 brothers. 47 and verse 3 now. Wayomer. Perol. El Icha. Ma. Ma Asikem. Wayomeru. El. Parol. Roe. Son. Avadika. Gam. Anak. Tnu. See that? You get that in the throat. It's like catching something in your throat. Anaknu, Gam, Avotinu, and he kept on saying, Pharaoh, unto his brothers, what your deeds, what your occupation, what your life's work? And they said, and they kept on saying, third person masculine plural, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect. If you want to write that down there. I didn't write it, but that's what it is. Unto Pharaoh, shepherding, masculine singular cal participle, shepherding, watching over of flocks your servants. And they call themselves slaves. They come into the land and say, we are your slaves. We are your bought and paid for servants. What is the word in Greek for this word? Avadika. What is the word in Greek for avadika? What is the word? Doulos.
Doulos.
That's the word right there, doulos. That means bought and paid for slave. Okay, doulos. Both, gam. The Greek equivalent to that would be kai. It's a cumulative particle in Greek. Both, and this one you look up on page 169, both we, anakinu, also gam, our fathers. Now this is what we've been doing for a long time. What is the root of this word here, our fathers, or the fathers of us? What is the root of it? Avi. Avi. Alpha? No. Aleph and Beth. I get my Greek and Hebrew mixed up sometime. I can say either alphabet really good, but then, boy, I tell you what, I get them mixed up. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, theta, iota, kappa, long, the moon, psi, omicron, pyro, sigma, tau, epsilon, phi, psi, and omega, aleph, beta, gamma, delta, beta, he was FF, yod, kappa, lambda, mu, mu, omega, and say, p, sati, kappa, shim, shim, tau. But I get them mixed up. I'm liable to say, beta instead of base. All right. Wayomeru. El Federal. Lakur. Baaretz. Banu. Baniu. Ki. In. Mere. Lots. Son. Two. Double. Lotson. Asher. La Avadika. Ki. Kaved. Ha Raav. Be'eretz, Canaan, we Atah, Yeshu Va? Yeshuvu. That is, Yeshuvu, Na, Avadika, Be'eretz, Goshen. And they said, first person, corporal, plural, cal perfect, that is. And they said unto Pharaoh, to pilgrim. Look at that word, to pilgrim. The pilgrim means a full-time RVer. A full-time RVer. They have no home. They're going to sojourn. The pilgrim, as old John used to say, hey, pilgrim. Pilgrims to sojourn, cal infinitive construct. The pilgrim in land. We have come. Third person masculine plural, cal, fusive in meaning. We have come because not pasture or forage for our flocks or sheep and our goats, which to your servants because heavy the famine. Ha ra'av. Ra'av means what is the root of that? What is the root of this? You know, Brother Roger?
Rish.
Ra. Ra means evil. Ra means evil. It is there is a heavy evil, a heavy famine in land, the Eretz of Canaan. What does Canaan mean? Canaan. Canaan, as we say. Huh? Possession. I have gotten our possession. And now, we ata, and now, allow to dwell, we beg you, your servants, in land of Goshen. And Goshen means what? Land of prosperity and rain. Okay. Boy, they want from a desert. Yes, brother.
Excuse me. In biblical times, did they ever use a different word for please, like modern Devakasha?
There is another word, but I can't think of it right. But that is a particle of entreaty. Na is a particle of entreaty, and it means please or I beg you. And it's on page 609 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Okay? Right there. Sometimes I'll put other page numbers down here. When we looked at that word a while ago, did I tell you that in Gesenius, that word abomination, that was in page 859 in Gesenius. All right? Page 859 in Gesenius. And page 849 is another word. Shikas. I was going to do that, and I didn't do it. See that word right there? That word. That is on page 849. Page 849 in Gesenius. That's where I got all of this stuff here. This is what we call a synonym of that word. Just like it. And where were we? 47 and what? All right. Verse number 5. Okay. I wanted to go back and tell you that because I forgot to tell you that a while ago. Wyomer. Parol. El Yosef. Lemor. Avika. Wichika. Bu. Erika. Now, I'm pronouncing this like Biblical Hebrew. Now, I can go back and redo it like modern Hebrew, because I do know that. But you're studying Biblical Hebrew tonight. That I do make a difference in it, and I try to get Roger, because Roger knows both, don't you, Roger?
No.
You know some of both, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Wyomer. Basically not, it would be Vayomer in modern Hebrew, wouldn't it? Va instead of wa. Okay. Pharaoh. All right. And he said and kept on saying Pharaoh unto Joseph. What does Joseph mean? Thank you very much, Pam. The multiplier increase. Saying limor. Saying cal wow infinitive construct. The root of that is amer. your father and your brothers, they have come in unto you. All right. 47 verse 6 now. Eris. How would you say that in modern Hebrew, brother? Eris.
Sin.
You would drop. Yeah.
Sin.
Yeah. Eretz. Eretz, that means land. Mitzrayim. It would be Mitzrayim in modern Hebrew. Lafanika. All right. Not much any difference there. He. Bimetov. Okay, now, this, the tav on the end and the tav on the end, like the word et, it would say et in modern Hebrew. Actually, the biblical Hebrew would say et. It's because it's a TH sound, et. All right, unless it has that dot in the middle of it to harden it, it is a soft sound. Soft sound. Bemetov, ha'aretz, ha'washev. Eth, Avika, we Eth, Achika, Yeshiva, Beretz, Goshen, Weim, Yadata. There's some long verses here today that have taken up two pages. We Yeshbam, Anshi, Chayil, We Sam Tom, Sari, Miknah, All, Asher, Lee. Eretz, land of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means what? The land of red mud and canal banks. Lands of canals, all right? Before your face, Lefaneka, before your face, the face of you, it and best, good. Look at that word tov. Tov is the root of this word. Bimetov. That's in best or good. In and from the best or good, the land, Haaretz, calls to dwell your father and your brothers. Let them dwell in land of prosperity and rain, Goshen. And if you have known and are among them, all right, that word there, that's Yishbam, that is among the place, and then it says men of ability and strength. And you place them as stewards and administrators, as chiefs, Sar. What does Sarah mean? Sarah, the name Sarah. Huh?
Princess,
or what does it literally? What?
Contentious,
to fight. A warrior, a fighter, someone that takes control. That's what this is. Warriors, and of cows and sheep and goats and camels and perishable domestic animals and documented property, mikneh. That's what it means. Documented property: cattle, sheep, horses, camels,
elephants, whatever.
I turn the old machine over. I have that just in case the other ones fail. That's a backup. We Yeshbam and are among them men of ability, of strength, and you place them chiefs, cattle, over whatever, that's a particle of relation to me. All right. Put them over all of the purchasable, documented property. 47 verse 7 now. Pharaoh meets Jacob. Yahweh. Yosef. Et. Yaakov. Avi. Vayamedihu. Lifne. Pharaoh. Vayderech. Yaakov. Et. Pharaoh. And he brought in for himself Joseph, Jacob. See that word sign with the direct object there? That means that he did this. He carried him in. He led him in. Et Yaakov. What does Jacob mean? To follow the hill. You got it down, fam. To follow the hill. A plus again tonight. His father. And what does father mean? What's the root of father? Aleph and Beth, it means the head of the house, the head of the house. His father, and he placed him for himself. He kept on placing him before the face of Pharaoh. And he intensely blessed. Look at that word. Third person, masculine, singular, PL, vowel, consecutive, and perfect. He kept on intensely blessing Jacob, Pharaoh. He kept on saying some type of blessing to him, an honoring Pharaoh. And blessing him. I'm going to tell you something. These Jews are going to bless the whole land of Egypt. When I was over there in 1975 and 76 in the land of Canaan, in the land of Palestine, I went from one tell to the other. I was talking to an Arab guide. He would tell us about the different tells where we were going, the different archaeological sites. He would get up there, and I'd ask him different questions like that. I said, what do you think about the Jews in the land? Well, he said, I don't agree with everything that they do, but he said, I'll tell you what. Our people have an old saying. It's good for the land that the Jews walk on it. Wherever they walk, it prospers. Wherever they put their footprints, it prospers. And that's kind of what's going on right here. Right, and they're going to. Joseph is going to make Egypt prosper tremendously. 47 and verse 8. Wayomer, Pharaoh, El Yaakov, Kama, Yeme, Shene, Hayika. And he kept on saying Pharaoh unto Jacob. He just kept on asking this, Jacob, Jacob, Jacob. Like, what are the days of the years of your life? How old are you, fella? How old are you? When you meet somebody really, really old, there was a guy in Egypt, not in Egypt, in England a long time ago. Trying to think of his name right now. He was 170 years old or something. And the king of England decided he wanted to see this man that was so old. And the guy was still out farming and going on a farm in England. And the king sent for him and had an audience with the king. And he went in there and he ate the king's food and everything. And he went back home and died. They said the shock was too much for him. He told him he didn't get married until he was 120 years old. The first time I had kids. I wish I could remember that man's name. You can look it up, and the oldest man in England. Wayomer. Yaakov. El Pharaoh. Yeme. Shene. Mikurai. Shiloshim. Yumiat. Shana. Miat. Wiraim. Hayu, that is, Hayu. Yeme, Shene, Haye, Willow. My glasses make these bifocals get me on the wrong line. His Sigu, Et, Yeme, Shene, Haye, Avote, Bime, Migurihem. And he kept on saying Jacob unto Pharaoh, days and years of my being a pilgrim? 30 and 100 years. Few and evil. Whoa, look at that. Few and evil. He said, I'm 130 years old and my days have been few and evil. Boy, what kind... Now, this is one of the greatest men of God that ever walked upon the face of God's earth. I tell you what, Jacob was a wonderful man. As far as I can tell, a lot of people play him down in their preaching and everything else, but I think Jacob was one of the top dogs as far as spiritual men in all the history of the world. He said, my days, my years have been few and evil. They have become. Days and years my living, and not did we read this second part? No, we did read it in Hebrew. Okay. And not they have attained unto days and years of life, my father, in their pilgrimage. Now he said, I didn't live as long as my father did. Hebrews 11, 9 and 13, Genesis 25 and 7 and 35, 28, cross-reference to this verse here. Jacob's 130 years old, and he tells Pharaoh, he said, I didn't live as long as my father and my grandfather. And what he means is Abraham. Abraham lived longer. And of course, how old was Noah? This goes all the way back, he goes all the way back to Noah. How long did Noah live? Over 900 years. So the times just kept on falling down. The years kept on falling off. 130 years. I thought many times, I'm getting close to 70 years old. And I thought, what could I do if the Lord allowed me to go on and teach the book of Genesis and then the book of Exodus and go through every book in the New Testament and get it all down? Wouldn't that really be neat? If I had enough brains and could live long enough to do that and be useful to the Lord, that would really be neat. But it's not necessary, is it? But whatever you do and whatever, however long you live in this world, you ought to do something useful for the Lord. Just making a living and putting a house over your head is not useful, because somebody else is going to get that after you go. But what if you build spiritual children? What if you leave a spiritual legacy behind? You know what that spiritual legacy will do? It will follow you into heaven. It'll follow you into heaven. Why Vederek? Yaakov. Et Parol. Why Yitzi? Milethene. Parol. Payroll, that is. Payroll, sometimes, see that little period-looking thing there in the middle of that word, the doggish laney and doggish 40 go in the middle of those words, see? That either doubles or it intensifies it. Right here we've got Pharaoh because we got the dot in there, and down below we don't, so it's Pharaoh. See that? And he kept on intensely blessing Jacob, Pharaoh. And he went out from before the face of Pharaoh. He went out from before the face of Pharaoh. 47 and verse 11. Vayah, vayoh, woshev. Now that is a long word. You know, Hebrew is like shorthand. It can have a lot of words in there. Even though it's a short word, it can be very long in our pronunciation. Vayoh, woshev. Yes, Yosef. Et, avi, we et, ital, vayetin. Lahem Achuza Be'eretz Mitzrayim B'metav Ha'aretz Be'aretz. We've got to get the second half of that verse. Ramsey Ka'asher Tiwa. Look at that. Suwa. Su-wa. Su-wa. Just out of three letters. Su-wa. Pharaoh. And he calls to dwell Joseph, his father, and his brothers, and he kept on giving to them a possession. A possession in the land of Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt, in the best, the goodest of the land, and in land of Ramses, and which commanded Pharaoh. Guess what's going to happen to these poor old boys in about 400 years? About 400 years. They're going to become slaves, and they're going to build the cities of Ramses. All right, they're going to build the city for the big pharaohs. Ramses. Verse 27. I am on 12, aren't I? I didn't skip one, did I? Okay. Why? Kalkel. Yosef, et avi, we et acha, we et kal, beth, avi, lechem, lefi, hatoth. And look at here, this is prophecy fulfilled. What does Joseph mean? It means to nourish, to increase. And he nourished Joseph, his father, and his brothers, and all the house of his father, and bread, lechem, and bread at mouth of little ones, to the mouth of the little ones. What do these little ones here mean? Hatav, hatav. What does hatav mean? Remember, Sharon? What does hatav mean? Hatav.
Like toddlers?
Toddlers. Make little steps. Little bitty stumbling steps. Thank you very much. A plus. 47 and verse 13. Joseph gets all the money in the land for grain. He is going to become a capitalist. Extreme capitalist here. All right? Welikim. En. Bikal. Haaretz. Ki. Kavad. Haraav. Miod. Watila. Eretz. Mitzrayim. We Eretz. Canaan. Mifpane. Haraav. All right. I think that before we quit for today, is that all right with you, or do you want to go any further? This is enough? We've gone an hour. And bread, not there is the word. That's an adverb of negation, that word not there. Lo and all, that's not also. Right here we have it spelled differently. And not in all the land. There wasn't any bread. Because was heavy the famine, exceedingly meod, and were exhausted the land of Mithraim and the land of Canaan from the face of the famine. They were exhausted. Look at that word exhausted there. They were worn out. The land was worn out. Only the land of red mud and canals was the only one that could produce anything in the land. Red mud and canals because it was irrigated land. And of course, the Nile River didn't quit running. It might have slowed down some, but it didn't quit running. So they still had irrigation, and they still had food in the land of Egypt. And not only that, but Joseph had caused a 20% tax to be levied on all the people. And he kept it. And he put all the grain in storehouses. And now he's going to completely control the whole economy of the known world and all of the Middle East through here. We started out in 46:31. 46:31. 31 through 47 and verse number 13. We went quite a little ways today. I'm trying to get through this, but I don't want to go over too quickly. I want you to see what's in there. All right? Okay, have any questions? Joseph is making Pharaoh rich, isn't he? Like that old Arab boy told me, it is good for the Jew to walk on the land. It will bless the land. And he blessed the land of Egypt. But he's going to turn against him, isn't he? This Egyptian culture, there's going to be another king, and it's going to be turned against him. And we'll see that in verses and chapters to come. Let's have a word of prayer. Go out and do something eternal. Let's see who I can pick on to come up here. All right. Sharon, would you mind coming up here and dismissing us in prayer tonight? It's good to have you here.
Thank you, Father, for this opportunity we just had to learn your word from the original, Lord. And thank you for giving us this opportunity to do so, Lord. And help your truths to sink into us and our understanding, and to inoculate us against any fads, theological fads, Lord. Help us to be really grounded in your true word. And Lord, I ask that you bless everyone here and bring us back next week. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Well, we're almost to the end of it. It's just a good old way, isn't it?
Really neat stuff all the way through.